Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, we do a bit of preamble before we get about talk about the things we're going to talk about this week. There's a time code below if you do want to jump ahead. Or just listen. Just for once.
In your goddamn life.
Just take the time to listen.
Cruella de Vil. Cruella de Vil. If she doesn't scare you, no evil thing will. Something.
I don't remember the rest of the song.
Is that from really 101 Dalmatians, the book, the cartoon, the remake, or the reboot?
There's so many versions. No, that one is from the first Disney 1961 film.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Haven't you?
No, I haven't seen a lot of those older Disney movies.
Oh, I've seen all of them. I've seen every single bloody one. I've seen them multiple times. You used to rent them from the video shop every holidays when my parents also rented a video player.
Was that before or after you escaped the Titanic because you're so old? Haha, gotcha. Hey, we've got some podcasts up top we got to talk about that you were on specifically.
We do, but before we do that, we should introduce the show. Good God. And then I have an anecdote about Titanic that I loved as well. My name is Claire. James here also. We are married and we recommend you things. And one of the things I did want to recommend, other than our friend's podcast, which is coming up too, we watched the new season of Love on the Spectrum.
Yes.
It's just the best thing. And you mentioned the film Titanic, and there's a beautiful man called Michael on there who said, in all seriousness, that he watched the Titanic and didn't like it because it was too upsetting.
It's a pretty upsetting movie. We've talked about it. It gets a lot of play on this podcast, the movie Titanic.
It does. And I love that guy so much as a human being. I just think he's so fascinating and funny and great. And his family are so great too. Yeah, oh, what a cool dude. Really,
that's a great show.
It's such a good show.
We'll probably talk about that. You've already talked about
it. I've already talked about it, but we should talk about it on a different show. Anyway, so worth it. The second season is out now on ABC iView. Okay, yes, but before we start, what were you going to say?
One is we talked about A Quiet Place on the Weekly Planet, my more successful podcast earlier this week, but you came on to guest.
People
might already know that, but that's great. But what they might not know about is you were also on another podcast.
I was, not my own.
That's right.
And not even this
This one, no. It's called whatever.
Moments of Clarity.
Sorry, Mason just messaged me. So that's why I said whatever, because he's coming over. We're going to record some stuff.
Oh, gosh. Do you want me to talk about this podcast?
Sure, while you're checking
your phone.
Yeah.
Like the terrible human you might know, poor James has been taken on the load for lots of reasons that we will talk about in a minute. But first up, our beautiful friend Matt hosts a show called Moments of Clarity, and it's wonderful. And he interviews really interesting people and experts about, I guess, their lives and their approach to life and what they think about their particular field of expertise. And there's always a moment of clarity
in each
episode. And it's often looking at culture and life and the planet that we're living on currently. And he interviewed me. And the episode was on empathy and vulnerability and creativity.
Gross.
All the things I love to talk about. And he was really, really, insightful. Yeah, and he's also a teacher and we just think he's top. So if you're looking for a podcast episode, I'm on the latest one. And you're coming up on one too.
I am upcoming. I thought it was on Sunday, but he didn't release one, so I might be on the following Sunday.
Correct, exactly.
Yeah. I'll let everyone know when I am on it. But yeah, we talk about beer and boobs.
Beer and the boys and the boobs.
That's right.
I actually talked about the boobs on the Weekly Planet.
Very good.
I certainly did, in particular, breastfeeding.
You do. In relation to the quiet place.
And you said the word colostrum, which I feel like might have been the first time you'd ever said colostrum on the Weekly Planet.
I'm saying it all the time. Look at this colostrum tattoo I have on my chest.
That is one of the weirdest things. If no one knows what colostrum is, it's like this sugary substance that comes out of your boobs when you first have a baby that apparently is super important and all the midwives go wild for, and sometimes you have to syringe it off.
They're
your
out
nipples.
The back just doing lines of it.
Do you know what? They talk about it so much, they bloody are. I bet they are.
You know what? They work so hard, they bloody deserve it. You know what I mean? These healthcare workers, they're out there.
They bloody
deserve it. Cut them some slack.
And look, just as a side note, in case you probably don't know, well, maybe you do if you live in Melbourne and if you're in, we're in lockdown again. And we've been in lockdown for almost a week, and it just got announced today that we're in for another week, and just quietly, I think it's going to be even longer than that.
Just quietly.
Just quietly. Don't tell anyone. Or not so quietly. Yeah. How are you feeling about it, Jim Jam?
I'm just resigned to it. I'm resigned to doing everything because you threw your fucking back out.
Oh, my God. The night that it was announced, like my buddy was like, enough! No one can do anymore! You can't! And just like completely packed itself in. And I couldn't move. And yeah. I couldn't get up to like get to the baby because you have to bend down in awkward angles with the cot and holding. Turns out having babies really bad for your back.
Turns
and
out.
And core stability. Anyway, and I may have also gone super hard at the gym in that morning to like, you know, get out all my frustration about missing my beautiful friend's wedding.
Yeah, you're supposed to go up north, go to a wedding, but now you're going to have to stay here.
I'm supposed to be a bridesmaid next weekend, and instead I'm going to be sitting at home with this dude over here.
And by that, she means watching me do everything because she literally can't do anything at the moment.
I can now. I'm getting better. I've been doing lots of physio and osteo and myotherapist, whatever's. Mm. I've been trying. I've been what? But yeah, poor James.
You know what you're not doing, though?
What?
Going to that wedding.
Far out. There was a sunset cruise hen's night. There was a beautiful dress and beautiful heels. There was like a makeup artist and hair. There was my beautiful friend of 20 years.
Mm.
And actually, I wrote about this in my newsletter Taunts this week, and it's very self-indulgent, but I decided to just sit down and write about how sad I feel about it. And
I agree.
Also, I do think, and I know we need to get on to things, but I just wanted to say this one
thing.
There'll
be a time code, probably.
Right. This is something I said in my newsletter, and I really stand by it, that everyone has a story through this pandemic and a yes. backdrop, right? And often, and I include myself in this, when things like the fact that I can't get to my, you know, best friend's wedding is like a very tiny thing on the scale of huge things that people are going through, you know, with funerals and deaths sure, yeah. and sickness and lost jobs and inability to support family and, you know, home situations, all kinds of difficult stuff.
Mm.
But I think whatever you've lost over the last year and a half, it's okay to feel the pain of it and accept it and be kind to yourself about it. Even if it's just that you're coping with the fact that we're living in a pandemic and that's all you've had to cope with. That's not all. It's huge. And so just feeling how you feel and accepting it and looking after that pain and looking after yourself rather than saying, well, everybody's, you know, I'm lucky. And yes, you are, but you're also allowed to feel a bit shit if a shit thing has happened to you, which I think is pretty much the entire globe.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Last year. Okay, I'm done
let's
now.
Let's get into it.
Let's do it. What are we talking about?
What's the first thing we'll talk about together, Claire?
Oh, we're going to talk about Cruella de Vil. Yes. As I sang at the top up. That's why I sang about her at the top.
Yes.
Do you want to start? Do you want me to start? Because I have many feelings.
Well, I can give you the story credits and such because it's directed by Craig Gillespie. It's a story by Aileen Baroche McKenna, Kelly Marcel, and Steve Zissis.
Mm.
It stars, among others, the two leads, Emma Stone and Emma Thompson.
Both like the two best Emmas,
yes.
I'll say.
Now, a lot of people might have written off this movie already because there is a scene that's been going viral where you see Cruella de Vil.
You can't say Cruella, spoiler alert. Killed. You keep saying Cruella, which is a parrot that keeps like flying over our house.
That's correct. But her mother gets killed by three Dalmatians.
And it's ridiculous.
Yeah. And look, yeah, and it's also ridiculous in like the context of the movie. Are we
trying to be a kid's film?
Well, I mean that in like it's pretty funny. And I think it's supposed to be funny. But even if it isn't, if it's not meant to be funny, it's still very funny. But I don't think you should write off the movie as like another Disney remake, reboot, live action, gritty retelling, whatever. Because I think it's a cut above a bunch of the others. And even though it is in this weird ground, as you mentioned, between like, it's not a kid's movie and it's not like Joker. There's like somewhere.
It's like in a tween that. Movie. Yeah. It's almost like a Twilight-esque kind of film. Yeah. It's nothing like Twilight. No. I just mean that it's for that kind of audience.
Maybe,
I
yeah.
feel. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. One thing I will say, because I went and did a little research into the Cruella de Vil as a character.
I think it's Cruella Riots.
All right. Here he goes. So can I thought this was really interesting. So obviously there's been so many, as you said, different depictions of this, but the first was done by the British playwright and children's novelist Dodie Smith.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so she was in a 1956 children's novel, The 101 Dalmatians.
Oh, yes.
And then obviously there was two Disney animated films and two live action as well of 101 yeah. Dalmatians, which I thought was quite interesting, one of which is played by Glenn Close.
Well, I believe he's a producer on this new one. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And look, that Glenn Close film, I don't know if – have you seen it?
I haven't seen
it. I've loved it. Yeah. I actually really loved it. And what well, I found –
people like it, right?
Yeah, they do really love it. And I love the cartoon as well. And that iconic theme song is from the first 1961 like animated film.
Cruella de Vil.
That one. And, but it's, it's become a part of the culture. You're so annoying. Anyway, but what I found really interesting, I read a really interesting article from the New York Times called The Surprising Evolution of Cruella de Vil by Sarah Barr. And one thing she pointed out, which I totally agreed with, was that interestingly, other than obviously the skinning puppies for a fur coat vibe, Cruella started off as kind of like a spoilt heiress in a way. And she had a husband and a cat and, you know, wasn't particularly likable. But through the years, she's become a much more of a feminist fantasy, which is quite interesting
yeah.
because she's unmarried and childless by choice. And this is in the 1960s, to be fair, as well. Yeah. She's independently wealthy. Mm-hmm. She has two henchmen at her beck and call that she just, like, tells what to do all the time. And she's unwilling to let anyone or anything stand in her way. So, yeah, a far cry from the depiction of typical mid-century housewives. And also her wardrobe is killer. So
yes.
I think – and Glenn Close kind of took that even further because she plays Cruella as quite sexy, deranged, like completely deranged, but this really is kind of fashionista, bright red lipstick, winged shoulder pads and cigarette holder, you know, knee-high boots or thigh-high boots really and big voluminous fur coats. Obviously not a fan of the fur coat. However, it's well, that kind of ruthless fashion designer that – I feel is almost embodied in like a Devil Wears Prada.
Totally, yeah.
And this is this.
If you like that, you probably like this actually.
Yeah, you said that to me too. This film kind of walks that line. It's wonderful.
Mm.
And Meryl Streep in Devil Wears Prada definitely has like a kind of Cruella de Vil vibe.
Definitely.
This is obviously a much more heightened fantastical world.
Yeah.
But that story arc I think makes her even more likable, and Emma Stone brings something really new to the character of her kind of origin story as an orphan.
Yeah.
And so you automatically start to see a girl who's had a lot of trauma and what that can do to her. And obviously there's some very dark themes around kind of Emma Thompson's character. Are we doing spoilers? What are we doing?
Yeah, I guess we can.
Yeah, yeah. So Emma Thompson's character.
There'll be a time code if you want to.
Oh, correct. Exactly. So Emma.
Do you want to jump straight to that or do you?
Oh no, no, you go next. Do you want to go from the start?
Well, I just meant like, do we want to save the spoilers till the end?
Yeah, let's do
and
it.
And then we can just put that in and then yeah.
Yeah.
All I was gonna say is like I'm not really a fashion person, but I enjoyed the fashion in this because there's kind of like she does a lot of like fashion bomb kind of things where she'll like crash an event and be like, look at this fashion, and then she'll like run off or whatever. This and what Emma Stone's character does, and it's fun. Like it's fun the way that she's kind of this Banksy underground kind of like fat. They're these kind of fashion rivals going up against each other, and they're both very devious, like in their own ways. And she hasn't fully taken that kind of evil turn that you see, you know, in the later movies.
Totally,
and whatever. And also, I think the side characters are really well fleshed
yes,
out.
They're great.
If you know anything about the cartoons or whatever, which I don't, there's a lot of people who in this who then later appear in that, and you kind of see the origins of that, which I'm generally not really a fan of, but maybe because I haven't seen the other one, so I'm not. I've got no expectations of where anybody needs.
I really to liked be. The henchmen characters in this.
They're fun.
They're really fun, and you see them from little kids kind of growing into these two guys who are actually quite funny, you know, and dry-witted.
Mm.
And I also think that the character I really loved was the guy who's kind of androgynous.
Yes.
Yeah, and he runs like a fashion store and they clearly kind of meet their match, which I find really interesting. So Emma Stone meets that character and immediately they recognize in each other people who are kind of experts in fashion and in the history of fashion, and their kind of banter is really wonderful. There's also this incredible scene where Emma Thompson and Emma Stone are sitting on a couch, and it's kind of the first time that Emma Thompson's character kind of sees her rival in the flesh, and she's in this incredible red dress. You know that trick where she comes in a white dress?
Yeah, you would have seen it in the trailer.
Yeah, seen in the trailer, and it's amazing. But the scene afterwards where they're talking and they're sitting on a couch and it's clear that they're intellectual equals.
Yes.
And also have zero, are a little, both a little unhinged and have zero kind of
zero fucks given.
Yeah, basically, they don't care what anyone thinks about them. Mm. And that's what I think I mean by that kind of like feminist sort of fantasy, because they're completely in charge of what they're doing, of their company and their art, and they're unashamedly so driven by that passion. And I think so often women are taught to not do that, to downplay their talents, to take second fiddle, to keep the peace, to keep everybody happy. And it's the same with Anna Wintour, who is obviously a real life character and who The Devil Wears Prada is based on. There's a real directness about her, and she's absolutely at the height of her game in the fashion world and backs everything up that she, you know, does with like incredible talent, but she doesn't suffer fools.
Yeah.
And there's something just so wonderful about seeing someone do that also in like killer heels.
And they work that into like the start of the character where she's kind of coming up as Cruella. Cruella. Yeah, you do see that where people are kind of stepping on her, putting her down, like not really interested in what she has to say.
Can you just be nice? Can you just be not yourself?
Even her mother's like, you know, you need to be, which is, you know, be nice. But yeah, you can see why. Like, I think the character evolution feels, you know, very real over the 2.5 hours that this movie goes for some reason.
It's super long, isn't it?
Very long.
Though
I didn't really feel it, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't either. Yeah. I think because the visuals are so spectacular. And, yeah, so I could watch Emma Thompson in anything, and this is so brilliant. I think the first half of the film, you know who she is, but you don't kind of care because she's so brilliant. And then she starts to kind of fall off the wagon toward, like, the second half of the film. She becomes increasingly...
You're talking about Emma Thompson or Emma Stone?
Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
Increasingly unhinged.
Well, they both kind of do.
Yeah, they do. But I think Emma Thompson's character, for obvious reasons, becomes much less likable. There's something about her at the beginning that you just think she's at the top of her game and this is brilliant.
I think there's still something endearing about her at the end because, you know, because she's just chewing scenery like the whole time. In a good way. Yeah. Do you want to do your spoilers though?
Yeah, or just that Emma Thompson's character ends up being the mother of Emma Stone, of Cruella. And she's a complete serial killer, basically, and has zero empathy, which is why I don't think it's a kids' movie at all.
No.
I just think the themes are too dark. Yeah. I couldn't show that to our 5 or 6-year-old.
I don't think he'd like it anyway.
No, he wouldn't, but I wouldn't show it to him even if he was into fashion. I just think it's not appropriate.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, definitely not. No. It's more, I think it is. It might be PG-13.
Quite scary. Yeah, it is PG-13. It's the first one of the films in the franchise that is PG-13.
Yeah.
I think it could border on a higher rating than that.
Nah.
It's pretty scary.
Nah.
She tries to burn her alive.
Yeah, that's all right. They do that shit in cartoons all the time. Bambi's mum, whatever, you know, all that. One thing that I didn't like, there's a lot of like CGI dogs in this, which I just don't look very good. It's like a $200 million movie.
Yeah, they didn't need to do that,
did they?
Yeah,
just get
real
dogs. And I understand there's bits that, you know, you can't, but there's, you know, just train some dogs. And I know that's hard, but so CGI. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would say, though, like if you're kind of on the fence about this, maybe don't pay $30 on Disney Plus for it. You know what I mean? Like I watched it because I wanted something to talk about kind of with you, and I thought then, you know, it was something we could watch together and you might like. But I ended up enjoying it a lot more than I thought I would. I thought I was just going to, like, whatever.
So you put it – because I bloody love – you knew I would like it too.
I had an inkling. I'd heard it was, like, getting better reviews than what it looked.
Yeah, because I would not have watched it. If you hadn't suggested it, I wouldn't have watched it because I thought, I don't know, it just doesn't – even though I've enjoyed the past 101 Dalmatian kind of iterations, I just sort of thought, oh, this looks kind of like a weird origin story, a bit like Maleficent, that kind of vibe.
Yeah, I didn't like Maleficent. I haven't seen the sequel.
No, I haven't either.
Maleficent.
Yeah, I think because I think part of it was I couldn't see how you would like her as a character, like why you would care about her origin story or something. I don't know why.
I think this movie will struggle if they keep making them to work it into the character that she becomes, the dog killer.
Yeah.
So I think, though hasn't done super well and Disney are kind of cagey about numbers for whatever, you know, how much money it makes, I don't think there would be in a rush to make a sequel to this, unless it kind of picks up a bit of traction and more of a kind of a cult following. But I think it would be lesser returns with a movie like this.
Mm.
I think it kind of works better on its own, and you kind of fill in the blanks yourself between this and the Glenn Close version. Yeah,
totally. I think the Glenn Close version is much more fun.
Yeah, probably.
And just shoots is brilliant.
But this is also fun. Like, it's this.
Is. I loved, and I mean the fashion and the way there's a lot of themes in it that are wonderful. One of which obviously is to be yourself and embrace your individuality, and you know, and the other is that theme of creativity, which I think is so cool, and just how clever and interesting she is, and how much work she puts into that kind of artistry of fashion that I think is so cool, and how what she does is so different and edgy, and that's really a big statement too about how great it is to be different and how great it is to try new things, and you got to believe in yourself and stand up for yourself and all of those sorts of things, and there is some really touching moments in it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
All right.
Yeah. But I think if you're a fan of 101 Dalmatians or Disney classics, this is better than most.
I reckon
it's way better than The Lion King. It's better than Aladdin, though I didn't hate Aladdin. The remakes I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's Cinderella was a really good remake.
Cinderella's still my favorite.
I think so too. But I've really enjoyed this. I think if you like The Devil Wears Prada, you'll also like this. And if you just like Emma Stone and Emma Thompson, it's a treat. Actually,
you're in for a treat.
How much fun does it look to play those two characters?
It does look fun,
in this movie,
you played an evil witch and a evil stepmother in a play.
I did in Into the Woods, Stephen Sondheim's. Yeah. I think it's Stephen. Yeah, Sondheim's Into the Woods.
I think you're thinking of Steven Spielberg.
Here he goes. I always get those dude's confused. No, and I loved it. I had big hair and big eyelashes and all the things.
It was good.
It was fun. Yeah, and
I still haven't watched the movie version because I really enjoyed yours. But I like James Corden's in it, who we might be talking about. We're talking about the Friends.
Yeah, what in the version I did?
No, in the movie version.
Yeah,
obviously Claire. No, I can't believe that just went over my head. No, I was talking. No, I know James Corden wasn't in your one.
I know. I think you're getting a cold spoiler alert.
A what, sorry?
You might be getting a cold.
Maybe I am.
Oh, no.
I'll be all right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bing bong, bing bong. It's time for an ad. How did you choose which internet service provider to use? The sad thing is most of us have very little choice because ISPs operate like monopolies in the regions they serve. They then use this monopoly power to take advantage of customers. Data caps, streaming throttles, the list goes on. But worst of all, many ISPs log your internet activity and sell that data on to other big tech companies or advertisers to prevent ISPs from seeing my internet activity. I protect all of my devices with ExpressVPN. So, what is ExpressVPN? It's a simple app for your computer or smartphone that encrypts all your network data and tunnels it through a secure VPN server so that your ISP cannot see any of your activity. Just think about how much of your life is on the internet. Sadly, the list of people you've messaged, sites you've visited, and videos you've watched gets tracked by tech giants who can then sell your information for profit. That's the reason I recommend ExpressVPN as the best way to hide your online activity from your ISP. You just download the app, tap one button on your device, and woo, you're protected. And ExpressVPN does all this without slowing your connection. That's why it's rated the number one VPN service by CNET and Wired. So, stop handing over your personal data to ISPs and other tech giants who mine your activity and sell off your information. Protect yourself with the VPN I trust to keep me private online. Visit expressvpn.com/suggestible. That's expressvpn.com/suggestible to get 3 extra months free. Go to expressvpn.com/suggestible right now to learn more. Okay, on with the show.
Listen, Claire, listen. Do you want to talk about the Friends reunion?
Oh, did you write it down? I didn't, no, but I do. I have many feelings.
Do you? Do you want to talk about it?
Let's do it.
Okay. I haven't seen it. I don't know.
Oh, what?
I didn't watch it.
Seen it. All right. Okay. So
everything around. You know what my problem with this? Here we go.
Oh, here he's back.
Just the bits that I've seen of it. It's like James Corden. And look, I don't hate James Corden. I genuinely don't. But stop putting yourself into everybody's nostalgia. Just fucking take a step back, man. You don't need to be in everything. It's like they're singing songs about in cars or whatever. It's just not interesting. I know it's like. People like it, and it's objectively good and popular and
are you done?
Whatever. No, and it's all these things about like, well, look, it's Lady Gaga doing a thing. Oh, look, what do these celebrities think of Friends? The Friends are the celebrities. They're some of the most famous people in the world still. You don't need to trot out fucking Ed Sheeran to be like, and again, I don't hate Ed Sheeran. He seems very nice. Same with Lady Gaga. You don't need any of that. That's why the Fresh Prince one was so good, because it was just like the principal cast sitting at the couch just talking and like reminiscing. And it felt like really real and genuine. And again, I haven't watched this new one, but from what I've seen, there's a quiz and like what?
Okay, so for those who haven't watched it, it's available. Where is it available?
It's on HBO Max.
On HBO Max. And it's the first time they've done something like this, right? They didn't do an episode for, I think, a lot of reasons, one of which being that they're not all that, like, on the top of their game anymore.
No.
So I think it just wouldn't have worked. And also, as the series writers who were in this said, it was such a complete season at the end. They really tried to, because they were aware of just how much Friends meant to people, how joyful it was, how funny it was, they really wanted to end each character arc beautifully, tied up with a beautiful bow as a gift to the audience.
Yes.
And I appreciate that. There's a lot of different edgy, dark, whatever's, you know, shows out there, and great, that's what they are. But I think Friends is like a giant warm blanket and a big cup of cocoa, and it's been hugely important to people for a lot of different reasons, one of which is to combat loneliness, which I think is a huge thing for
yes,
the show.
And
what I did like was when they did cut away to just regular people who've watched the show in all different parts of the world,
yeah,
who told a story about what Friends meant to them. Mm. That was really great.
I don't have a problem with any of that. That all sounds really great.
And especially when it was in different countries too, you know, people whose father was dying from, you know, cancer, or a woman in Nigeria who was living alone after a marriage breakdown. You know, those kinds of stories were just beautiful. And I think encapsulated exactly how special Friends was. But I agree with you. A lot of it was kind of James Corden talking, and then they started it with the set. So they have the set of Friends rebuilt, which I think is actually – that was cool, because it was the first time the whole cast had been back on the set, because the ending of the show, literally on the day of filming when that show finished, they just started dismantling the set because they had a new show coming in.
Yeah.
So it's the first
time –
Did
that show last?
I doubt it. but they did dismantle the set, so it was the first time they'd seen it re-envisioned, which I think was wild for them. So that was cool, and they got each character to come in one at a time, which I think they also did for the Fresh
Sounds
Prince
like they've
of
stolen Bel-Air. A lot of stuff from the Fresh
They
Prince
have, really yeah. Good. And look, they did it in the same order that the cast was cast.
Oh, really? Okay.
Which I thought was clever too,
it
and
was
really
first.
Interesting. So Ross, they actually...
Was he really?
Yeah, so what I found really interesting about the special was they interviewed the writers and creators of it. And
again, all that's good as well.
It's really good, because you see the heart of the show actually comes from these three people.
Yeah.
And I thought that was great. And how they cast. So they started with Ross because they really love David Schwimmer. David Schwimmer? Is that how you say his
David Carella. David Schwimmer. Did he come out and go, I hope this is going swimmingly?
What's his name?
David Schwimmer.
Thank you. It is David Schwimmer. Right. I don't know. Now you're making fun of me. I'm not sure. Anyway, and they had the idea of Ross for him, basically. They wrote the show for him, which I hadn't realised.
Have you done much before that?
Yeah, a lot, and quite a few things, but nothing major.
Yeah,
and then he went back to do theatre because he hadn't really. He had this really great slapstick comedy that just people weren't hiring him for.
Yeah, he's
and
fun.
I think that the writing team, who are Bright, Hoffman, and so you know the end of Friends when it comes up with the writing
team.
Yes,
I do.
Hang on, writing team. This is going to annoy me. I didn't write notes on this because wasn't going to talk about it, but
music.
It is really interesting.
Why are you looking it up?
Crane, Kaufman and Bright.
There we go.
And they had written a whole lot of other pilots, so this was just like the next pilot, but they'd based it, which I think always happens. This was based on their own lives because they were three young people living in New York, and they wanted it to encapsulate that time in your life when your friends are your family.
Mm.
And it makes me sad, actually. That was something else that made me sad to think about, because there is a time in your life when your friends are your family.
Totally.
And then once people get married and start having kids, that kind of is over.
Yeah.
And it's not that those people can't be in your life.
Then you got a real family.
Oh,
yuck.
No, I know. But it's not the same.
No, you're right. It's very much, you know, like, there's like, I mean, some people, you know, don't get married, don't have kids or whatever, but it's like there's a window, 10, 15, 20 years, whatever, where, that's how
you know,
it is.
Everybody's
and you
in
see,
it together.
And you lose people along the way. And,
you do, and people go off in different directions, but, they're, you know, like you'll see that core group of people 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
You'll be at every function on the Wednesday, you know, weekend together, and whether or not you guys might live together, you see each other so much. Yeah. And so that, and you do, you lose friends once people go in different directions, and some people have kids and some people don't. Anyway, so that was how they kind of captured that, the essence of friends, I guess, which, you know, write what you know, which I thought was really beautiful.
And know who you are.
So then after that, they then had Phoebe Buffay. So they, Lisa Kudrow, obviously.
It is Kudrow.
Kudrow, it is Kudrow. Anyway, so she was the next one they cast. They immediately thought of her when they saw Phoebe's character, and she just brought it to life. They actually saw her in Mad About You as the waitress.
Oh,
Mad About You, which I loved that show.
Which
Helen
Hunt. they work in, because Friends and Mad About You are in the same universe.
Yeah.
So that's Ursula, her sister.
Yes. Yeah, because she's a bit darker, obviously, than Phoebe. So they, and you could tell when they saw each other, there was this beautiful kind of reunion of sorts, which was so lovely. So that was really cool. And then after that, I think came in, who came next? I think it was Matt LeBlanc and then Chandler. And then the last two to cast were Monica and Rachel.
Yeah,
they were just really hard to cast, because I think Rachel was the last one, Jennifer Aniston, because Monica, initially they were thinking of Courtney Cox for Rachel, but she said she was actually much more of a Monica-esque as a person and fitted much better in that character. And so they needed to find someone for Rachel Green who you still really liked as a character, and you were really rooting for her even though she's this like spoiled brat of a human.
Mm.
And I mean, Jennifer Aniston is just the most likable human, you know, on the planet, or one of, and she still is. She's brilliant in this, and she's clearly got so much heart. She just cries through half the special. So, there were some good bits in it, but I agree. I would have much preferred them to not do all the gags and the cut. They did some redoing of, like, scenes when they cut to the old scenes and then got them sitting around a table and, you know, reading the reading parts of scenes. And
how does Gunther look?
Oh, weird. Yeah, he's got a cap on. He wasn't actually in there, but he was, you know, on the screen. He had a cap and beard, and was clearly Friends might have been the highlight of his whole sort of life.
That's like a big role, though.
It was, and he was great. So anyway, there's lots of touching moments, but I felt the weakest bits were, James Corden on the couch in front of an audience. I don't think they needed
an audience. Really friends? I don't know.
There was just a lot of weird kind of questions that didn't quite work, and then like a weird fashion parade and –
What do you think of this tweet? It's a bit mean, just heads up, from Nicole Bonce on Twitter. Not to us, I just saw it on my timeline. I love that the Friends reunion is a science experiment in how six very rich people approach plastic surgery. Because there are some looks going on there. And that's not to shame, but like,
yeah,
there's been some work done, and obviously some, you know, they're also in their mid 50s.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And that's the thing, right?
And also, Matthew Perry had like emergency dental surgery
which
that morning.
Which you totally could tell, because I was worried for him.
And then going and doing that, like, ugh,
he had like his teeth were quite odd and weird. And like, I was so worried for him. Like, he looked terrible.
Pain and numbed up, or who knows.
It was definitely also a sign of, you know, how much the expectations of how women should look seem to just matter so much more. Because really, all three women still look pretty incredible comparatively, whereas the blokes seem to go a bit squidgy at the edges. Yeah. And
Joey is the one who looks most like a normal man.
Yeah, he does. Everyone said that. What did you send to me? He looks like someone's dad.
That's right. Hang on, I'll
bring it
up.
I agree. He actually just looked like, because that's what I also thought was interesting. There was joy in some of them, and there wasn't joy in some of them.
Yeah.
And you felt like life had been easier for some than others. Mm. And I thought, I felt Lisa Kudrow of all of them looked like someone who was, who had grown into herself.
Yeah.
She, and she, to me, I'm sure maybe she's had some things done, but she looked like someone who had just grown into herself as a really cool 50-year-old woman who looked after herself and enjoyed her life and embodied herself.
Yeah.
And I, and that to me is sexier and more interesting and well-rounded. Ooh. No, but, you know, then all this kind of like trying to stay youthful in this weird sort of frozen way. Mm. I just thought she just seemed so full of life and joy and was happy in her own skin. And I felt like that just shone through.
Yeah. And that, she's doing really interesting roles as well.
Yeah, exactly. Really interesting roles. I mean, you know, obviously Jennifer Aniston looks incredible, but but she's clearly had a huge amount of work. Yeah,
but it's
done.
Pretty good work, to be
it's
fair.
It's pretty good work. Yeah, exactly. And Courtney Cox, I feel like, seemed sad. And I don't know why I think that. But anyway.
Who knows? We're probably projecting.
We are projecting.
This was from Jem La, says, Matt LeBlanc is on Twitter, looks like a dad on Christmas that he's happy to see you open your gifts, even though he doesn't know what any of them are because your mum got them all, which is very much my dad vibe as well. Yeah. Not my dad vibe, my dad.
Your dad's my vibe. Dad's vibe. No, you buy presents and do things. You're there, great. I mean, as is your dad. Yeah.
We should wrap this up, though.
We really should. We've dragged this on. I had all these other notes of stuff to talk about, but I guess we wait till next week.
We'll do it next week.
One other thing I wanted to say about the Friends reunion, it must be so brutal seeing just incredibly, because they were all incredibly attractive, gorgeous, funny, charismatic, you know, people.
Very good.
He's showing me a video of himself.
Well, no, my son said you could do a superhero pose and I'll film it. So I did.
Excellent.
That's never going anywhere. No. But sorry, go on.
It must be such a mind trip to just be everywhere you go, you would still see that those that you at the peak of your career and the peak of your kind of physical capability. Yeah. Everywhere you go.
Yeah, for the rest of your life.
That must play on you, right? Yeah.
Seeing that version of yourself.
Yeah, and that level of fame.
Oh, yeah, brutal. You know,
that quote about Matt LeBlanc saying at one point he turned on the news and all of the roofs of all of their houses were like in a split screen.
Oh, yeah.
On telly, and then he looked and was like, oh, I really need to clean the leaves off my roof. Yeah. So he went and did it. But, you know, that kind of level of fame, you know,
crazy.
So obviously it's going to take its toll in different ways.
Mm.
All right.
Anyway, I've got a review while you bring up the letter for this week.
Oh, yes.
I love doing reviews of this show. I love getting them. You write them. You just do it in app.
Get to it, mate.
Just telling people. You open up the app. I'm just padding for time while I found it. And then you just go, oh, here it is. And then you play the – and then you write the review in. This is from VSVSVAHWJWNAHA. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Excellent spin-off. 5 stars. Give Claire a poetry show. What do you think of that, Claire?
Oh.
Thought you would enjoy that.
I love that. Yes, I would love a poetry show or a poetry show as
you
they
would.
Say.
It is poetry. All right, what's this letter we got this week?
All right, so this is from Kieran M. Hi, boys. Hope that the pair of you are doing well. I hear you're back in lockdown.
Yeah.
Which as a Brit, just out of our third, I know to be totally shit. You are spot on, mate. Keep your heads up high as they will go. For James, we know this to be 40% high. For Claire, I'd estimate it to be around 210%. You are absolutely right. You have totally nailed our general vibes today, except for my back pain, which is slowly disappearing. Anyway, cheers, folks, from sunny Cumbria in England. He has a little voice recording for us, which you can also do by sending to suggestiblepod@gmail.com. Oh. And you can record it just on your bloody phone, mate, if you like.
That's
in your voice memo app. Send it on winging
what
away.
What do you got for us?
Here we go.
So you want a suggestible, do you, James and Claire?
Yes.
Well, how about this? I've got a suggestible for you. I suggest that the pair of you have a lovely day for yourselves and for your family because the two of you are a complete delight and I like your antics. Yeah, but like an actual suggestible, The Mitchells vs. the Machines, it's on Netflix, so it's free, even though it's not really free. It's the animated one. James will probably like it because it's like got robots and that. And Claire, there's like family and shit, so yeah, it's nice and it's probably heartfelt. So yeah, it's good. Watch it. Thank you very much for the podcast, I suppose.
You're welcome.
Cheers. Bye.
I was worried about that one because sometimes Mason and I screen out. We don't screen them. We just play them, see what comes up. So I'm like, oh, is this gonna take a turd? But you do check these before you.
I correct. Play them I yet. Absolutely do.
Thank you for reminding me. Sorry, who was that from?
Kieran M.
So aggressive.
What a bloody legend! I know. I love that hilarity.
We did watch it. I watched it with my son, and then Claire watched it with my son. And in the end.
Or my son.
Separately. Yeah, we might talk about it another week, but I have opinions on that. Cool.
Yeah, I have so many opinions too, and it's not just the
robots I love about it.
No, it's mainly the theme song that you guys keep dancing around the house to that in this lockdown situation is driving me insane. Maya. I've sung twice on this show today.
Wow.
Good Lord. Are you
low record?
Oh, God. Well, we've really hit a bloody low.
All right. I got to get wrapped up because I got to record some fast and furious stuff.
I'm
going
to go cry into my shoes. Instead of going on a tropical holiday, I'm bloody stuck with this bloke for another bloody however many weeks.
Listen to me,
Claire. Godforsaken house.
I've been to Darwin where your so-called tropical holiday is, and it's far from tropical.
It's very tropical. What do you mean? What do you want? Beaches? Beautiful weather? 30 degrees, sunshine.
Queensland is tropical.
Waterfalls. I was going to swim in a waterfall, James. Actually, in a waterfall. Mm. I was going to swim in a waterfall. I bought new sunglasses and new bathers for the occasion.
Did you really?
I certainly did.
You know what you could do now? Stay here.
Stay here in bloody 2 degrees. It was 2 degrees when I woke up this morning in this doom and gloom, godforsaken place. And all you keep doing is farting. Today you were in the studio and I was sitting on the couch with my sore back and you came in and said a little chat and I was like, this is lovely. And then you're like, uh-oh. And then you ran outside to do a fart and then the fart just drifted back into my face.
It's not my fault. It couldn't have been me. It might have been a baby.
Is in essence what I'm going to be putting up with for bloody at least this week. I reckon it's going to be longer. And if you're in lockdown, I'm sending all my positive love vibes to you.
Everyone's getting vaccinated, though. Not everyone. There's a lot of places.
I know. If you can.
Anyway, we're going to go. We're going to go.
Okay. You've been suggestible.
You've been suggestible by us.
Bye.
We got ya. We bloody got ya.
Yeah, we bloody got Maya. Maya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.